You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
If you haven't already experienced that feeling of being trapped in a hopeless situation, you will. You see, we all will. In fact, some of you who are here today, you can totally relate because your future is uncertain. Your circumstances are weighing you down. And right now, you're experiencing something similar to the mood that we're feeling in this room right now. Hopelessness. Uncertainty, even darkness. You see, the day of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, it was a dark, dark day. Matter of fact, the followers of Jesus must have felt blindsided because less than a week earlier, they watched him ride in on a donkey, everybody cheering him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Everything was great. Everyone was laughing. Everyone was filled with joy. And then suddenly, their leader, their king, their friend was dead. Can you imagine what that must have felt like? No doubt some of us here today would say, absolutely, Dwight. Been there. Experienced that. And you're feeling it right now. And you're wondering if this is it. You're wondering, am I going to make it? You're wondering, is there any hope? You're wondering, where do I go from here? Maybe you're thinking, Dwight, I've heard that there's a better way. And you know what? I've checked out church before. And I've heard the message of hope. I've heard the message of freedom. I've heard the message of life. And yet somehow, it eludes me. I haven't been able to grasp it. I'm sure that it works for some people. It may even work for you, Dwight. It seems like it. But you know what? I don't know if it's a real possibility for me. You see, you're in the day of Friday. It's the crucifixion. You have felt the sentence of death. But I want to let you know that you're not the first one who has felt that way. You're not the first one who has experienced that. There's a man in the Bible, and his name is Peter. And when you read about his life, you learn that he went through many, many days that was filled with a sense of hopelessness and uncertainty and fear. And what he did is he learned some things there. And he learned it from Jesus, the one who God sent into this world to die for my sins and your sins and the sins of the world, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. And Peter says, I watched him. I followed him. I believed in him. And I came to trust in him. And he was able to take me through everything that life had to throw at me. And he writes these words. And by the way, I want to encourage you to follow along in your note-taking guide, because what I'm going to share with you today, if you can grasp it, if you will embrace it, it will transform your life no matter where you find yourself. And you will experience what Peter did in his life. And here's what he says to us. He says, this is the kind of life you've been invited to, the kind of life that Christ lived. You see, 2,000 years ago when Jesus came to earth, he declared his purpose for coming. He said, I've come that you might have life and life to the fullest, even in a broken world, even in a world that doesn't work right. He says, I've come to give you life, and I want to give it to you to the fullest. Peter goes on to say this, he suffered everything that came his way. Everything that came his way, he suffered. And so everything that you and I have gone through, are going through, and will go through, Peter is saying, Jesus suffered that so that you would know that it could be done. Because when we go through times of suffering, we go through times of tragedy, of heartache, of losses, we wonder if we can make it. We wonder if we're going to be able to put the next foot in front of the other one. And what Peter says is this, he came and he suffered so that you and I would know that it's possible, that it can be done. And he goes on to say this, and also know how to do it step by step. This is incredible. You know, Peter is saying that Jesus came to earth to live life in a broken world, in a fallen world, to die for your sins and my sins, but also to teach us how to live, to be able to let each and every one of us know that though we live in a broken world, an imperfect world, that it can be done, and that he knows how to do it, and that he has given us a step-by-step process of how to be able to handle life. That's encouraging. That's what Easter is all about. That's the good news of Easter. And so what we learn from Jesus is that he lived, he died, and he rose again. And in those 3 days, a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, he teaches us what it means to experience the 3D life. And it's this right here. It's Friday is the day of crisis. It's the day of crisis. Some of us are there today. Saturday is the day of chaos. We're confused. We're not for sure what to do. And then Sunday, the day that we all want to get to, is the day of celebration of where we've been able to successfully move through the day of crisis and the day of chaos. And you see, this happened over 3 days. It happened over 3 days. And Jesus handled those days in an incredible way. And he's given you and I a step-by-step to be able to handle the day of crisis, the day of chaos, so that we can get to the day of celebration. You see, we will constantly go through this cycle over and over and over again in our life. You see, all of us here are in one of these 3 days. Some of us are in the day of crisis, some of us are in the day of chaos, and some of us are in the day of celebration. But it's a cycle, and Jesus teaches us. And I want to teach us and share with you from the life of Jesus of how he handled these incredible 3 days so that you and I will know how to handle the worst days of our life, because you will find yourself constantly either in a day of chaos, a day of crisis, or a day of celebration. And so let's look at these 3 days. Here's the first one, and that is the day of crisis. And so the question is, what do I do in the day of crisis? How do I get through the day of crisis so that ultimately I can get to the day of celebration? You see, all of us need this message because we're all going to be in a day of crisis. We're going to experience a loss. We're going to go through a tragedy. We're going to experience a heartache. And Friday was the day of crisis. And that's where your world is turned upside down. And Jesus experienced different types of crises in his life on this day. The first one is this. He experienced a physical crisis. When you begin to read the story about Jesus and about the crucifixion, you will find out that he was beaten. He was whipped. They plucked out his beard. They placed a crown of thorns. Matter of fact, let me say it this way. They pushed a crown of thorns down on his head. He went without food and sleep and water. He went through six trials. And then they ultimately nailed him to a tree. You see, he had a crisis that was physical. You see, the crucifixion was one of the most horrible ways in which a man could die, because it was basically through suffocation, because they nailed his feet to the tree and he could not lift himself up to breathe. And so Jesus experienced physical pain, but it was more than that. He experienced emotional pain as well. Emotional and psychological pain. You see, the crucifixion was a death of humiliation. How would you like to be stripped naked and then hung on a tree publicly and experience the pain of rejection and have people laugh at you and spit upon you and betray you? That's exactly what Jesus experienced. And yet it was even more than that. He experienced spiritual pain. Spiritual pain in his day of crisis. You see, he died for the sins of the world. And your guilt and my guilt, your shame and my shame was laid upon him. Do you know what it feels like when you've done something wrong? Boy, I do. And I feel horrible. I feel guilty. At times, I even feel ashamed of myself. And it's not a good feeling. And what God did is he laid all of that on Jesus Christ. And he experienced spiritual pain. He went through all of that because he loved you and me. He went through the separation of God. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And one of the things that you and I can be certain of today is that Jesus understands your crisis. He understands your pain. He understands what you are experiencing. Nobody else does. I guarantee you. We hear these words, I understand what you're going through. No, you don't. Only Jesus does, because he's been there. He's experienced that. He has suffered everything that you and I have suffered, so that you and I can know that we can make it through it. You see, the Hebrew writer would say it like this. Since Jesus went through suffering and temptation, he knows what it's like when we suffer and when we are tempted. He's the only one. He goes on to say this, and he's able to help us. So no matter what crisis you are experiencing today, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's spiritual, whether it's relational, whether it's financial, Jesus can help you. And he gives us the way to do that. He gives us the step-by-step to do that. And you say, well, what is it, Dwight? Tell me. I'm in a crisis. I need help. It's this. You connect with people in God. You connect with people in God. See, that's exactly what Jesus did in his day of crisis. He connected with people. He gathered around him the disciples. That's what he did. And he asked them to pray with him. And that's what we need to do. When we're in a day of crisis, if we're going to learn from Jesus and if we're going to be able to follow him, we're going to have to be with people. And that's why we would encourage everybody at New Point to be a part of a group, to be a part of community, to have 5, 7, maybe 10 people that you're doing life with, because you know you're going to experience the day of crisis, of a crisis physically or emotionally or spiritually or relationally or financially. And so you need people. You see, we would say it like this. It's dangerous to do life alone. Because when we're in a crisis and we're all alone, we get paranoid. We panic. We become very fearful. And Jesus understood that we needed people in our life. And so one of the first things that he did is he connected with people who he was doing life with. But he even took it a step further than that. He connected with God. He connected with God. Look at what it says here in James 4:8. This is the brother of Jesus. He says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. What's he saying to us? He is saying that you and I are as close to God as we want to be. And what Jesus would say is, in the day of crisis, you need to connect with people, but you really need to connect with God. You need to draw close to God. And we can do that through prayer. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. You see, it's recorded here in Mark about what happened in the day of crisis for Jesus. Here's what he prayed. He said, Abba, that means daddy. He's crying out to daddy. He says, Father, everything is possible for you. What is Jesus doing? He's connecting with God the Father, and he's affirming God's power. He is saying, everything is possible for you. I know I'm in this crisis. I know it's painful. But you know what? Everything is possible. God, I know that you're all powerful, and I affirm your power. But he goes on to say this. Take this cup from me. You see, Jesus is being very vulnerable here. He's being very honest when he's talking to his Father. He is saying, God, I know that you're all powerful, and so everything is possible for you, and I'm asking you to take this cup from me. What he's doing here is he's expressing his desire, and that's what we're called to do. In the day of crisis, we're called to express our desire. God, I don't like what I'm going through. I don't like what is happening here. And here's my desire. And here's how I wish you would work. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He says these powerful, powerful words. And here's what he says. Yet not what I want, but what you will. Wow. He offered his trust to God. And that's what we need to do. We need to offer our trust to God. Offer your trust to God. You see, what happens is, I'm not talking for you to become more committed to God. I'm asking you to surrender to God. And that's what you do in a crisis. You see, listen to me. God takes full responsibility for the man or the woman who fully surrenders to him. And when we do that, what happens is God says, I will carry you through this crisis. I will get you through. And so, in a day of crisis, what do we learn from Jesus? We learn that we need to connect with people and we need to connect with God. So let me ask you a question today. Who knows you well in your life? Who knows your name? Who knows your pain? Who knows your hurt? Who knows your struggle? You see, that's how you get through a crisis. You get through a crisis by connecting the people who know you. You get through a crisis by connecting to a God who loves you, and you affirm his power, and you express your desire because he can handle it, and then you offer your trust, you surrender to him. But many of us are not there. Some of us are, but most of us, you know what? We're in this second day, and it's the day of chaos. It's the day of chaos. It's where you and I are in a state of confusion. Things are not coming together as quickly and as fast as we think they should. The crisis has already happened, and now we want God to work, because we know that he's powerful, and we're trusting him, and yet it's not happening as quick as what we'd like, and so our lives are filled with panic. Our lives are filled with anxiety, and that's exactly what happened to the disciples. You see, what happened is they moved from a day of crisis, of where Jesus was nailed to the tree, and then they took him down, and they laid him in a tomb. This one who they saw perform miracles. This one in whom they saw heal the blind and the lame. This one in who they saw calm the storms of the sea. They saw him do all kinds of miracles. And they're thinking to themselves, if he was able to do that, why didn't he come down off of that tree? Why didn't he do a miracle here? They were in the day of chaos. They were confused. And that's where some of us are today. You're confused because of the chaos. You don't know what your next move is. You don't know what your next decision should be. And so panic has set in. Anxiety is high. How are we going to pay the bills? How are we going to go on in life? What's going to happen with this? Are we going to lose our house? Am I going to live or am I going to die? And some of you are right there. And what we learn from the disciples is this. When we're in chaos, we want answers, don't we? You know, when we're in chaos, we want answers because we feel alone. And what happens is when we feel alone, we wonder, God, where are you? Why aren't you working? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? And so we feel alone and we want answers, which leads us to what? Doubt. We begin to doubt whether God is great, whether he is good, whether he is generous. And if we're not careful, when we're in chaos, we ultimately give up. You see, that's exactly what the disciples did. The Bible tells us that in the midst of their chaos, you know what they did? They went back to their old way of living. They went back to their old life. Question. Have you ever deserted God out of your pain? Out of the chaos that's gone on in your life? You thought, this shouldn't be happening to me. And you've allowed your pain to move you from God instead of to God? Sure, no doubt we all have. And your life becomes filled with doubt and confusion. You see, that's where the disciples were. And the reason why was because they had forgotten what Jesus had told them. You see, they were basing their faith, they were basing their decisions on the circumstances. And the circumstance was this: Jesus is dead. He's in the tomb. And they were not basing their decisions and their life on what he said. You see, John records this, and this was just a day or a few hours before they had the day of crisis and the day of chaos. Here's what Jesus told them. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In me. In the world you will have tribulation and trials and distress. You will have days of crisis. You will have days of chaos and frustration. And then he goes on to say this, but be of good courage. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. Check this out. I have deprived it of the power to harm you and have conquered it for you. So whatever your crisis is, whatever chaos you find yourself in, I have deprived it of its power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Trust me. Trust me. And so what do we need to do in the day of chaos? You claim the promises of God. You said they had forgotten what Jesus had said. He said, be of good courage. I have overcome the world. Yes, you're going to have days of crisis. Yes, you're going to have days of chaos. But be of good courage. I have deprived it of its power to harm you. You see, nothing touches your life and nothing touches my life before it goes through the Father. And that's a promise of God. You see, there are 7,000 promises of God. 7,000. And they're all yes in Jesus. But you have to know the promises of God. You see, when we're in the state of chaos, when we're living in the day of chaos, what happens is we get confused. And our thinking goes awry, and we either think that God is not powerful enough to do something about it, or that he doesn't love me enough to help me out. And both of those are lies. You see, when you claim the promises of God, you believe that God is who he says he is, and that he will do what he has promised to do. And my friends, that's what Easter is all about. He said, I will come. And I will live and I will die and I will be resurrected from the dead. And so you claim the promises of God. Let me just share one with you quickly. It's from Isaiah. Here's what he says. When you go through deep waters and great trouble. Now notice that it says when. It doesn't say if. It could read something like this. When you go through days of crisis and days of chaos, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. He doesn't say that you and I won't get water in our nose or that we won't get water down a wrong pipe. He says here, you won't drown. It won't end you. He goes on to say this, when you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. He's not saying that you and I may not smell like smoke. He's just saying it won't be the end of you. He says, the flames will not consume you. Check this out. For I am the Lord your God and Savior. You see, you need a Savior for the days of crisis. I need a Savior for the day of crisis. You need a Savior for the day of chaos. I need a Savior for the day of chaos. So that we can get to Sunday. And Sunday is the day of celebration. It's the day of celebration. And that's where God wants to take you. That's where God wants to take me. That's what Easter is all about. You see, God took the most horrible thing that could ever happen, and he brought good out of it. That's what Easter is all about. You see, God loves to take crucifixions and to bring resurrection out of it. He loves to take days of crisis and days of chaos and lead you and I to a day of celebration. You see, here's his promise to you and me. Here's what he says in John. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then he asked this powerful question, and I ask this of you today. Do you believe? Do you believe? You see, how do you get to the day of celebration? You choose to believe in Jesus Christ. You choose to believe what Peter said. That Christ wants you to be able to live the kind of life that he lived, and that he lived it to prove to you and I that it could be done. And he's given us a step-by-step process to handle the crisis of life and the chaos of life so that we can experience the celebration of life. Paul would say this in Philippians 3, 10, and 11. I want to know Christ. Is that your desire? I want to know Christ because he's proven that it can be done. I want to know Christ because he's given me a step-by-step process of how I can get through the day of crisis, the day of chaos, to experience the day of celebration. He says, I want to know Christ. Not about Christ. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead, because it's that power that gets you and I through the day of crisis, the day of chaos. He says, I want to suffer with him. That's the day of crisis. I want to share in his death. That's the day of chaos. So that one way or another, check this out, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. You see, listen to me. You get to the day of celebration by choosing to believe in Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. You see, Jesus being resurrected from the dead lets you and I know that your dead marriage can be resurrected. Jesus being resurrected from the dead lets you and I know that your career can be resurrected from the dead. Jesus Christ being resurrected from the dead lets us know that your financial situation can be resurrected from the dead. Jesus being resurrected from the dead lets you and I know that your physical health can be resurrected from the dead. Because Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, he lets us know that your relationship can be resurrected from the dead. You see, the resurrection of Jesus gives you the power to close the gap between the life you are living, the day of crisis that you're living in, the day of chaos and confusion, to the life that you could live. And it's not a principle. It's a person. It's not a religion. It's not a ritual. It's a relationship. And every single one of us here today can have the confidence of being able to live through the day of crisis. Every single one of us can have the confidence to be able to live through the day of chaos and confusion if we put our faith and trust in the person of Jesus, who has proven that it can be done. And you say, Dwight, how do I do that? You say a simple yet life-transforming prayer. Just say, God, as much as I know how and as much as I understand, I want to know Christ. And I thank you for sending him to be able to live and die and be resurrected from the dead to show me that it's possible, that it can be done. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to fill me with your power so that I can live through the day of crisis, the day of chaos, and make it to the day of celebration. Thank you for your gift. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, if that's your desire, if that's your prayer, if that's your ambition, I want to encourage you to take that communication card and just check there. Today, I accepted Christ. Or maybe today, I recommitted myself to Christ. Because what we want to do is we want to be able to give you information on how you can nurture this relationship that will lead you through every crisis and every day of chaos in your life. Let's pray. God, we thank you today for who you are. We thank you that you came and you lived a life that we could not live on our own, so that you proved that it could be done. We thank you for the crisis of pain that you went through. We thank you for the chaos that you went through, so that you were able to bring us to the day of celebration. God, thank you for Easter. Thank you for the person of Christ. And today we accept him. Today we believe in him. Today we surrender him. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to subscribe through iTunes. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.